Europe.
Ukraine. Under Russian guns. The desperate fight to defend Kharkiv.
Anna sits in silence for most of the car journey from Kyiv to Kharkiv, her face contorted with worry. The Russians come closer, 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 but he's just not listening to me, she says. Anna has made a point of visiting her 75-year-old father regularly, checking in on him at the simple brick house he built 45 years ago, near Kharkiv's glimmering Pechenihi Reservoir, east of the city and close to the Russian border. This time, with the din of artillery in the background, she wants to persuade him to leave, to escape a Russian advance already enveloping Vovchansk, 25 kilometres to the north. After a hug and a few tears, the initial conversation does not go well. The TV and radio say it can't get worse, insists Petro. The Russians are losing. Sanctions, losses, reinforcements are coming our way. They can't come further. 10 days after the start on May 10th of Russia's offensive in Kharkiv province, the pace of the advance has slowed. For now, Ukraine is holding the Russians roughly halfway through Vovchansk, a town just 5 kilometres from the border that is now being turned to ashes, and at positions roughly 9 kilometres inside Ukraine further west, near Lipsy. With an estimated 48,000 troops ready, Russia does not have the forces for a major attack on Kharkiv City, Ukraine's second biggest, but local army officers say the situation is precarious and could change fast. The Russians were halted only after several experienced brigades came to the rescue, one says. Vladimir Putin will surely try his luck with another attack elsewhere in the region. A Russian column is already forming further north, in Sudsya, on the other side of the border from Suma, northwest of Kharkiv. Ukraine's army is also bracing just east of Vovchansk towards the village of Bilikolodyads. Battles have resumed near Kupiansk, a railway hub. It is still too early to be sure about the eventual aims of Russia's operation. On May 17th, Mr. Putin declared he intended only to create a buffer zone between Ukraine and the border city of Belgorod. There was no plan to threaten Kharkiv itself. But this may merely reflect evolving battleground realities. Retrieved military plans, details of which were shared with The Economist, suggest the Russians were probing to see if they could partially encircle Kharkiv and threaten Ukrainian formations to the east of the Pechenihi Reservoir. The operation was apparently planned for May the 15th-16th, but was brought forward by 5 days for unknown reasons. According to the plans, the Russians had identified two axes of attack on either side of the reservoir. The push on the western axis was intended, over 72 hours, to bring Russian troops to within artillery range of Kharkiv City at the village of Borshova. They were pushed back a full 10 kilometres from their goal by a rapidly redeployed force from the elite 92nd Brigade. But up till then, the story had been about Ukraine's poor defensive fortifications, about how the 125th Brigade had fled from positions under pressure, and about serious Ukrainian losses. On the Vovchansk axis, further east, the Russian plan had been to fight past Anna's father's house on the reservoir to the town of Pechenihi. The Russians initially swept through an area that should have been defended with minefields and engineering fortifications, but wasn't. They were just simply allowed to walk through, complains Denis Yaroslavsky, a special forces officer whose social media posts on May 12th alerted the world to the possibility of a wider reverse. We were watching them cut through the border fence on screens at about 11 p.m. on May the 9th, and I said to my men to watch how they would blow themselves up on mines. There were no explosions. They simply carried on. Many of the soldiers in Kharkiv are angry that Russia was able to advance so far, so fast. Some criticize delays in Western aid, which they believe encouraged Russian aggression and weakened Ukrainian defenses. Others suspect that incompetence or even treachery played a bigger role. Conspiracy theories that politicians in Kyiv or Washington may be selling Kharkiv down the river ahead of an ugly peace deal are also circulating. Rosy official Ukrainian narratives are not helping to calm nerves. President Volodymyr Zelensky is being kept in a warm bath, complains Mr. Yaroslavsky. We think the president should tune into the situation on the ground and not a Putin, a man whose life revolves around the papers his aides bring him. A government official suggests Mr. Zelensky had already sensed he might not be receiving the full truth. That's what he yells at his generals, at least. Alexander Husarov, Pechenihi municipality's head, says optimistic reports about Ukrainian strength have made it trickier to evacuate people. When the Russians seized much of the area as the war began, in 2022, the occupation was not as harsh as in other areas. Some mistakenly believe the occupation will be mild if it happens this time round too, says Mr. Husarov. Even the most stubborn can be shaken out of that belief when they see the burned earth left behind by Russian glide bombs and drones, he adds. But Anna's father, Petro, remains unconvinced, insisting he was lucky to be home when a Russian drone smashed into it in early March. That way he could put out the fire. He won't be packing an emergency suitcase, he tells his exasperated daughter, who is shoving mementos of her childhood, documents and photos, into carrier bags. All of Ukraine is exploding, he says. Besides, where would I go?